You are listening to the weekly message from Mount Helena Community Church. Celebration services are every Sunday at 10 a.m. at the Gateway Center. Or join us live online at www.mounthelena.cc.
Today, we're going to look at gardening. I want to just talk for a minute. We're going to read a couple scriptures, then we're going to dig into it and see some things that will help us. What I'm teaching on today is some of the most significant things that I have learned in my life as a Christian, and they are impacting my family today, and they're continuing to accelerate and increase. We're going to look at some scriptures. The first one, we're just going to read these because we're going somewhere, okay? We're going to start with Adam and Eve in the beginning. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground.'" And then it talks about Jesus. Jesus is actually the one who did the creating process. It says, "Christ is a visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on the earth." Okay, I'm going to stop there. I just wanted you to see that God decided to create mankind, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus is the one who did the work. Okay, and that's what the scripture teaches. Now, let's keep going. It says, "Then..." Okay, this is after the decision was made and they went to work. It says, "Then the Lord God," talking about Jesus, "formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person." Okay, so bear with me. I want you to just watch for a second. So the decision was made. Jesus said, "Oh yeah, oh yeah. It's time." And Jesus knelt down from the soil. He gathered up and started crafting and shaping the first person. He handmade Adam. He crafted him to make him just right. And then when he's done crafting, he breathed the breath of life. Then Adam stood up, the first person ever created. Jesus did that. Now, as soon as he created Adam, it says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and guard it and keep it." Now, when he put Adam in the garden, I believe that every time Adam was gardening and taking care of that garden, every time he bent down and worked with the soil, he was like, "This is how I was created. This is how Jesus made me." Can you see the connection there? Every time he touched the soil, he was reminded of his own creation. He was reminded of the transforming power of God in his life every time he touched it. Every time he worked with a plant, the miracle of life, every time he touched a miracle of life, he said, that's me. That's what happened to me. Just like this plant, it's the same thing that I was in the beginning. I was created. Beautiful, isn't it? Lord's faithful. He is faithful. I believe that there's a reason why the Lord used soil and then had mankind work with soil. Okay? We're talking about gardening today. Stay with me. Now, in the garden, let's read verse 2:15. Says, "So when God put him in this garden," okay, while he was in the garden, "the Lord caused Adam to go into a deep sleep. And then he removed one of Adam's ribs. And then once again, the Lord fashioned woman." He took that rib and fashioned Eve. Carefully crafted her. And my opinion is he probably took a little more time on her than he did. That's my opinion. That's not Bible, that's Dana. But the truth is, guys, look around. You'll probably agree with me. So anyway, he crafted Eve, and then she stood up. And then the Lord brought her to Adam. And Adam saw her. And I think that when Adam saw Eve that first time, I can imagine when he looked at her, he said, "Whoa, man!" Life just got a lot better in the garden. Amen. That's right. Amen, brother. Ladies, hear me. You are and always will be God's most beautiful creation. Every one of you in this room and the ones that aren't here are the most beautiful thing that God has ever created. So know that. Don't let anybody tell you anything different than that. And don't believe all the junk that's being promoted and marketed to you. You're beautiful just as you are without doing anything else. Because you were created that way. It's not something you can change, and that's good. Then I can see Adam compose himself. I can see him look, and here's Father God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. And he's like, whoa. I can see him just kind of get himself back together. And then he says in Genesis 2:23, he said, "Oh, this is now flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. She shall be called woman." That's funny, but you can see it. I mean, I can see it. And then I can imagine him looking, and I can see smiles all around. I can see Father, Son, Holy Spirit just smile like, yeah, it is good. It is good. She is good. She's good for you. You're good for her. Now, I have a question, and I'm not expecting an answer, but I want you to think about it. Why did God use soil to create mankind? Why? Everything else he just spoke, didn't he? He said, God said, and it was. God said, and it was. God said, and it was. But when it came to mankind, he took a different approach, didn't he? He bent down and used the soil. It says the dust of the earth, which means dry earth, dry soil. So he took the soil and crafted mankind from soil. Why did he do that? Couldn't he have just spoken and said, mankind? That's all he would have had to have done. And it would have happened, wouldn't it? Maybe he was showing us something, wasn't he? You know, and then, once again, let's refer back up to the scripture 2:15. What did he do? He took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and guard and keep it. I want you to know that is the first responsibility ever given to mankind. The first thing in the Word of God given to mankind was to garden. Number one, before anything else. Starting to see a pattern here, aren't you? The Lord himself, the living Word, knelt down, worked the soil, and created life from it. Then, what does he do to the first person? And then, of course, his wife, Eve. You guys, you work the soil too. You need to know how to work the soil. Now, you guys may think, well, what am I supposed to do? Go sell everything and buy a farm? No. Hang in there. There's more to this, a lot more to this. You know, why was gardening so important? Why was it the first thing on God's list? You got to understand, this is the first thing on his list, which means it was the most important thing for us to get first. So, when it comes to us, shouldn't gardening be a high priority on our list? Seriously, anybody say yes? Okay, good. Yeah. Okay, and you can chime in too. I know I ask some questions sometimes that I don't expect an answer, but you can jump in any time and amen and praise God and whatever. And respond to God's word. You're responding to him. I'm just the one giving it to you today. You're not responding to me, you're responding to him. If he touches you with something, say, yay, Lord, that's me, God, amen, so be it. And so doing that helps to seal what's going on in your heart. Now, what is gardening? Let's break this down some more. What is gardening? Okay. What do you need? You need seeds, don't you? You need soil. Okay. You need water. Fertilizer's nice. That helps a lot. You need to care for what's growing. You need to guard it and protect it, just like it says right here. You know, tend means to work it, to care for it. And then to guard it, you're going to protect it from animals. You're going to protect it from things, whatever's growing. And then you're going to keep it because you're going to keep an eye on that thing. You're going to watch out for it until you get the harvest out of it, aren't you? You're not gardening for the heck of it. I want you to know your life is not an accident. What you're doing is not an accident. What you're planting in your own life is not an accident. You're expecting a harvest out of it, or you should be. And I'm going to tell you, whether you're expecting it or not, you're going to get your harvest. Your harvest is coming in. So, now, God was teaching mankind a vital spiritual truth. You know, what are each of us made of? You can answer this one. Soil, aren't we? It's the stuff that the Lord crafted and formed. That's what each one of us are made of. We say, no, I'm flesh. I'm from my mom and dad. Yeah, you are. But where are they from? And where are they from? And where are they from? And where are they from? They're from Adam, just like all of us. Every one of us is from soil. So all of us are from soil. So if we're made of soil, what God was teaching us was how to work with ourselves, how to work with other people. That's why it was so important. If you don't know how to work with yourself, you're in a mess. If you don't know how to work with your family and your friends, you're in a mess. Because if you do know how to work with them, the potential is unlimited. The harvest can truly be overwhelming whenever it's a good harvest. So God was teaching us how to work with ourselves. Isn't that beautiful how the Lord will use a natural technique or a natural means to convey a spiritual truth that we need to get? He is so relevant and so practical. But gardening was number one on God's list, so I want us today, after today, to look at gardening a little more seriously. Okay? Now, once again, I want to look at some components of gardening. Okay? We understand that we're the soil. Okay? We have a lot of garden spots that we can plant in. Okay, I can plant here. I can plant in Reagan. I can plant in Shrek. I can plant in anybody. So there's us. We're one really good piece of soil, aren't we, that we can plant into. Our family, that is an amazing garden spot for us to plant in. And then our friends. So we have plenty of soil available. Every one of us has soil. I just want to tell you, all of your soil showed up today. So just know that. If your soil would have stayed home, you wouldn't be able to hear this. But your soil's here today, so there's no excuse. You can plant starting now good stuff. And if you've already been doing that, praise God. If you've been doing some bad stuff, we'll talk about that too. Because guess what? The harvest is coming. Whatever you plant, you will reap. So so today's a good day to increase the good stuff. You know, I also want to talk about the seeds. Seeds can be a lot of things, but I'm just going to hit a few of them here, okay? God's word, his written word, is seed. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This is seed. It's good seed. It's proven seed. It's tested seed. It always brings a good harvest. God's word will always bring the harvest you want. Know that. It always will. God's spoken word. And that can be through prophetic words. We believe in prophecy here because, well, it's real and it's for today. And so we believe it. So if God has spoken any good, encouraging things into your life, that's seed for your life. If you've got plans and goals and dreams that are God-given things in your heart, that's seed, isn't it? That's seeds. There are seeds that are pointing to a harvest. Your hope is a goal, and that's the harvest you're looking for. But the seeds have been planted now or planted earlier on. Now, I also want to look at, our attitude. Our attitude is a big seed, isn't it? If you got a positive attitude, that's a great seed. If you got a negative attitude, that's a seed too. Not a great one, but it's a seed. Our actions, what do? Do we do things begrudgingly? That's not a good seed. You're not sowing a good thing. If you fulfill your responsibilities in a negative way with a nasty attitude, that is not a good seed. And guess what? It will harvest at one point. I also want to talk about words. Great, great seed are the things that come out of our mouth. Think about it in the beginning. God spoke and it happened. God spoke and it happened. There's a creative power in each one of us. Every one of us have the power to create good or bad through this. The Bible says in James, a big ship is steered by a little rudder. That's our tongue. You want to steer your life? Use the rudder. Because your life's going to go where the tongue navigates it. So know that. So our words are powerful. Speaking, I am an overcomer, sowing that into the soul of your heart. What is that going to do? It's going to make you strengthen up. That's going to bring the power of God to bear in your life. I'm an overcomer. I am more than a conqueror in him who loved me. That's out of the scripture. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Another scripture. We can go on and on with the word of God. That's what I said. It's a great source. I can do this. Whatever God has given you to do, you can do it. He wouldn't have gave it to you if you couldn't do it. I mean, let's just be plain with it. Whatever God has put on your heart, it is possible for you to do. Not in your own strength. That's the problem. That's why we struggle, because we try to figure out how we can do it. You can't do it. You can't fulfill God's call in your life by yourself. You might as well just give up on that one and just do it. Just you and the Holy Ghost do it. Okay? We can do anything. Him and you can do anything. There's nothing impossible for God, and there's nothing impossible with God if he's got you doing it with him. Now, bad seeds. I'm a failure. Don't ever say that to yourself. Don't ever speak that trash. Don't ever sow those things, because I'm telling you, the seed's going somewhere in your life. It's going in your heart somewhere. So don't plant bad things. Don't say, I'm a failure. Don't say, wow, good things always happen to them. What about me? You know, I just can't do that. I can't do this. You know, there's no way I could ever be like them. There's no way. You just quit the comparing and quit all that junk, because that's bad seed. All that's bad seed. Don't do that to yourself. And definitely don't do that to your family. We're going to talk more about family here in just a second. You know, if you've got any negative thoughts or negative perspectives that trap you, things that you don't get victory over, things that you know, the Lord will show us some things that are off so that we can quickly examine them, connect with God in that place, get a victory, and move on, and then help somebody from that victory. That's the purpose of a hard spot, is to help somebody else from victory and help ourselves. But if you're stuck in a spot with something negative, something that's just beating you up and you're not coming out of it, that's a bad seed. That's a bad thing that is continuing to grow. You need to get with God, cut that root, let it wither and die, and move on. And most of the time that's based on some kind of lie. You need to ask God, God, is there a lie I'm believing? Because a lie will take root, and that is the source of that trash. So just you kill that lie that's the bad seed that's producing that fruit, and then guess what? You can sow some good stuff into that area of your life and become a much better person as a result. So I want to ask you, what kind of seeds are you planting today? Room's very quiet. What kind of seeds have you been planting for the last 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years? You know, last 15, 20 minutes. Did you have a bad attitude when you came in the door today? I'm just saying, you know, we're planting something, and we're planting something every day. What you been planting? You know, because I'm telling you, you've been planting something. If you're breathing and living, you've been planting something. I also want to talk about the tools. We got to have tools to work that soil, don't we? Tools to take care of those plants. Tools to watch out for that stuff. You know, when we work the soil of our lives to harvest, we have to use tools. Prayer is a tool. Prayer is a vital tool to cause those seeds to grow. Pray, pray, pray. Now, with that, be thankful. You know, don't just be thankful for what might happen. Be thankful for what God's already done. That is crucial to fertilize. It's a tool, but it's also a fertilizer. If you're ungrateful for where you are now, you're stunting the growth of your current seeds. If you're grateful for what God has already done, because who in here is he not blessed? Seriously. You know, everybody here looks well-fed. Let's just be real. Everybody's got nice clothes. Nobody in here is naked. You know, because you had nothing to wear. Yeah, let's laugh about it. You know, kind of looking back on the garden for a minute. But I just want you to think about this. Who of us has not been blessed more and above anything we could ever need? Every one of us has. You know, I'm not saying you don't have some hard things going on. Some people do. Some of us have good things. Some of us have bad things. But that happens to all of us too. But the fact is, every one of us is most blessed. We have Jesus. We have a home in heaven waiting on us since we've trusted him. We have everything we need in this life. It says for godliness and, you know, basically for godliness and to be able to serve him. We have everything we need now, right now. Everything. So if you wander, say, well, you know, I don't know about this, just say, oh, wait a minute. You have everything. That's a good seed. I have everything I need. That's a good seed. Now I want to talk about faith for just a minute. Let's look at faith. Hebrews 11:1. I believe that faith is also a necessary thing for natural gardening and spiritual gardening. You know, what is gardening? You're putting a seed in the ground and you're trusting that something's going to happen, aren't you? You know, you're not just planting it in the ground, planting it, and then poof, fruit. Whoa. It doesn't work like that. No, there's faith, there's patience, there's trust. And that's what faith, if you take faith and break it down, it means simply trusting God completely. And that's what faith is. So I want you to know that faith is crucial for gardening in the natural. And that's another thing that God was instilling in Adam and Eve is, you know, trust me. I said do this, trust me, and the harvest will come. That's what he was teaching. And here it says, what is faith? It's the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It's a certainty that what we hope for, hope is always the goal. When you see hope in the scripture, that's your goal. Hope for us is waiting. Excuse me, I misread that. What we hope for is waiting for us. Even though we cannot see it up ahead. That's faith. You know, why are you sowing those seeds today? Are you just doing it for the heck of it? Are you expecting something? And James says the patient farmer waits expectantly for the crop. And that's what it's talking about here. We wait expectantly. I want you to know I'm expecting more out of my life than what I'm living today. Are you? Five of us? Better, thank you. I know there's more than five people who are expecting something more than what we've got now. I hope so. If not, we'll stop and have ministry. Because somebody needs some prayer if that's all you're expecting. So I want you to know that there is more for each one of us. God has more. It says, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. They're beyond our comprehension. His ways are beyond our ways. Just grab that thought. He has more for you than you can imagine. He has more for you than you can comprehend. You might not see it today, but I promise he's got it. And he wants to give it. He's not stingy. God is not a stingy person. He wants to give it. He wants to give it. But much of that destiny is locked up in your seeds now. Much of your future is hinging on what you sow into your life and into your family and into your friends today. Now, I want to just talk about faith for a second. Yeah, we see what faith is here. But I know that it's a common question, you know, well, maybe I don't have enough faith. Maybe you know, my faith's not that strong. I've heard that over years. My faith's not that strong. And really? Okay. Well, the Bible says in Romans 12:3, God has given to each the measure of faith. So how much do you need to plant your seeds today? How much? Can you tell me amount? A measure. That's all he needs, a measure. Isn't God cool? Isn't he great? He used an exact word that will connect with every one of us today, wherever you're at. Because all you ever need is a measure. That's all you need. And God takes it a step further. He said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, the smallest of seeds, you'll say to your mountain, it says a mountain, but your mountain, whatever that big thing is you think you can't conquer, if you have that much faith, it'll be gone. So how much do you need? You just need a measure. That's all. How much do we have? I want everybody to say with me, I have my measure today, okay, on the count of three. And say it like you mean it, or we're going to have to do it more than once, and I really don't want to do this much. Okay? I need participation. So, all right, on the count of three, I have my measure today. One, two, three. I have my measure today. Okay? How much did you need? How much you got? So you're good to go. No excuses. You're good to go. Because, you know, it really does come down to you and God, doesn't it? The bottom line. Yeah, we have people who help us and encourage us, but I'm going to tell you, it comes down to you and God. You get real with God, and He'll get real with you, and things are going to happen. Your life is going to be transformed. You're going to become who you were created to be. You keep it real with God. Amen. Amen in the booth. All right. So I want you to look too. We need water, don't we? Our seeds have to have water. So do we have to go looking for water? No, we just need to connect with Jesus and then we have our water. It says, he who believes in me, this is Jesus, who cleaves to and trusts and relies on me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being shall flow continuously. I like that. Continuously. What you got? You got a drip irrigation system happening. Continuously. Springs. And you know, if you need it, oh, there's a river too. Yeah, of living water. You know, I just want you to think, there's no water shortage in your soil. You don't have to hunt for it. God made it easy, didn't he? He put the water source in us, and he's talking about the Holy Spirit here. The Holy Spirit is our water source. He is our water source. So we're the soil, and I think it's neat because without him, we can do nothing. But with him, all things are possible. Isn't that great? So the water source is in here with us in the soil. So it makes it easy on us, don't we? We just have to plant the seed. God's already given us the perfect environment. We just plant the seed, add our faith to it, continue to groom that thing, speaking. Thank you, God, that one day this will be mine. Thank you, God, one day I'm going to be here. Thank you, God, that your plans for me are this specifically. God, thank you that I am more than a conqueror. God, thank you so much, Lord, that I have everything I need to live for you. Thank you that I am exactly what my family needs. Yeah, I can tell. So there's some people who need to hear that again. Thank you, God, that I am exactly what my family needs. Now you let that soak in. There's several people here who don't believe that yet. Okay? Let it soak into your spirit. You are a gift from God to your family. God designed you perfectly for them and them for you. Okay, let's look at a little more in this process. Okay, I'm going to quote these scriptures. In 1 Corinthians 3, 6, and 7, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. Isn't that cool? God gives the increase. So guess what? The growth and the harvest isn't our responsibility. It's God's. Quit worrying about the outcome of everything. Quit freaking out about what it's going to look like or what it might look like or what it might not look like. You're worrying yourself half to death over something that's not your responsibility. So let that thing go. Have more fun in the sowing and the caring and the watching out for your plants, and let God let them make them grow. Let him do the increase. Let him produce the harvest, because that's his responsibility, not ours. Now, in Acts 1:7, Jesus said, he was speaking to his disciples right before he ascended to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit back. He said, it's not for us to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own control. See, Father God's the one who controls the time and the season in your life. And he's also the one who causes increase. He's also the one who causes the harvest to happen. So, you know, you can just take some stuff off your mind today. It's not your responsibility for the outcome. It's your responsibility to do what's right. It's not your responsibility for the seasons and the time. The plant, does the plant freak out? Does the plant sit there and go, oh my gosh, when am I going to produce fruit? And what's my fruit going to look like? Oh no. What if it's deformed, or what if I get some kind of funky rot stuff going on, or a worm or a bug? Oh, no. Does a plant do that? No. If they did, they'd have an audience. We'd be sitting there going, what is going on with that little thing? Sitting there shaking. And you know, seriously, if we took time, we could look at each other occasionally and say, what is going on with them? What are they doing freaking out? You know, I mean, We laugh about it, but it's the darn truth. Don't we act like that? All of us do. We freak out whenever it's not even our responsibility. People, let some stuff go today and let God do what he does. And have some more fun. Enjoy your life. Enjoy your God. Enjoy each other. You know, have some freedom. You know, Jesus died to give it to you. You might as well enjoy it. Amen. Now, I'd like to say here is, you know, if we do our part, God always does his part. He always comes through. He's faithful. He is faithful. So let's read this and have some time here. It says, you will always harvest what you plant. Stop right there. You will harvest what you plant. There's other translations. You will reap what you sow. Or whatever you plant is what you will reap. I mean, there's a lot of translations that talk about this. But what it means is whatever you put in the ground is what you're going to get out. So, if this one, I'll have a question here in a second. If you plant corn, you harvest. Yeah. You are definitely an above average church. You guys are getting this stuff. I'm picking at everybody. But it is that simple. It really is. You know, you plant tomatoes, what do you get? Broccoli equals? Okay. Does bad seed ever equal a good harvest? Are you sure? Yeah, it's pretty simple, isn't it? Okay, I had less participation in that part than I did with the plants. But the truth is, you know, if you sow something bad, you're going to reap something bad. That's just the way it is. But it's a great system that God put in place. It is a great system. Because knowing of it and understanding the process gives us a tremendous amount of freedom to enjoy the benefits, doesn't it? It's amazing. But so just know if you sow, you know, if you're out there on your own and you're sowing some bad seed, it's going to come back. You're going to reap a harvest that you don't want. That's just the way it is. If you're sowing good seed here, there, yonder, whatever, guess what? You're going to reap a good harvest. And eventually, and I'm just going to say for myself, when I was young and without God, I sowed a lot of bad seed, a ton of it. And then even when I first became a Christian and was just getting to know the Lord, I was still acting like all of us do as new Christians, still trying to live a lost life in a Christian body, pretty much. And that's what all of us do. We struggle with that, and that's sanctification. That's the process of God separating us from our old ways over time. But I want you to know with that is, you know, I had a lot of bad crops come in, guys. Please hear me. A lot of crops that I'd rather have not dealt with. And when they came in, it's like, ugh! Because by the time they were coming in, I understood this. Back then, I didn't. Back then, I thought, hey, you know, I can do bad seed on the side over here. But out here in my world with my friends and all, everything's going to be beautiful. You know, it doesn't quite work like that. And that's good. It's good that it doesn't work like that. You know, God's not into that. But I want you to once again see that you will always harvest what you plant. So let me ask another question, okay? Please answer me on this one. If you plant or sow money into somebody's life who really needs it, what's your harvest going to be whenever you need it? What? Money. Let's just be plain with it. You sow money into somebody who really needs it. At a point when you really need it, God will sow it back into you. And he will, I can say from experience, multiple, 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 multiple times. I've had people give me money right when we had to have it because over the years we were constantly sowing into people who needed it. What you sow, you shall reap. That's the way it works. Now, if if there's a family out here who needs food, and you take your money, go buy some food, buy some groceries, give them a meal, take them out to eat, whatever, and sow food into that family, what's going to happen when you're hungry? God's going to feed you, isn't he? He will. When you need it. Now, I want you to know it's not always when we want it. You know, we don't sow it and then say, I want. And then poof. No. God is very specific with his harvest. Because he controls the seasons and the times, doesn't he? But when you really need it, he will come through for you. He doesn't waste the kingdom resources. He stores them up for just the right time. Isn't he cool? He knows what he's doing. Okay. Now, I want to just, you know, if we say bad things about ourselves, what will our harvest be? Yeah, I think everybody's got it. Now, I want to use one example, just a small example. There's a lot of examples we could discuss, and there's a lot of examples you guys could share too, I'm sure. But I'm going to share just one small one that's not too significant, but yet it does teach a point. In the mid-1990s, Cheryl and I were in North Carolina. We lived in North Carolina. We're part of the church there. We were in leadership in that ministry also. And the thing is I felt like I was stuck in the mud. Yeah, we were doing the stuff, but it was laborious. Everything was just like, oh, I felt like I was always trudging through the mud. And I was like, God, why? Why? And this went on for a period of time, and just so I could see the harvest, and I could eat the harvest, and I could taste the harvest, so I could get the point. God's a thorough teacher, isn't he? But what the Holy Spirit showed me is he reminded me, took me back to my childhood when my grandfather, who was my father figure, had spoken into my life over and over and over again. He said, you will never amount to anything. He spoke that into my life hundreds, if not thousands of times. I'm not even going to go into my relationship with him because it was a rough one. But he would speak that into me constantly. You will never amount to anything. Normally with a cluster of cuss words on the front and a cluster of cuss words on the back. But that's what he was speaking to my life as a child. And the Holy Spirit said, that's what you're harvesting right now. That seed that was sown by your authority in your youth has come back. Now, he had been dead for several years by that time. But he sowed that into my life. And that's what I was harvesting at that point. I was just stuck in the mud. I was trudging. It was hard. And it didn't need to be, but it was hard. Because the harvest was coming in from what my father figure had sown into me. Small example, powerful truth. But I want you to know, right then, in Jesus' name, I broke those words. I felt them come off of me, like that yoke that you're not meant to carry. I felt that that break come off of me, freedom. It changed at that point, but God was teaching me. He was reinforcing what we're learning today. What you sow, you shall reap. Not just in yourself, but in others. Okay, that brings me to parents and grandparents. We'll get back to the scripture in a minute, but I really want to spend some time here. This is very important. You know, never speak bad things into your family, parents and grandparents. Never. There is never a reason to sow bad seed into anybody in your family. Let's just say like never, ever, none. Ever a reason to be nasty, to be mean, to curse, to sow bad things. Never. There's a better way. Because you, as parents and grandparents, you have the biggest, most powerful seed of all. You do. God is giving you that seed for a reason. Parents have an ability to plant things in your life. Grandparents have an ability also to plant things in your life like nobody else can, don't they? Their words have weight. They have weight. And so I want you to know that, you know, if you're a parent, grandparent, or someone who is expecting children in the future, remember this. Always speak life into your family. Speak health into your family. Speak blessing into your family. Speak encouragement. Speak destiny. Speak God's plans and purposes into your family. And if anything else comes up, hold your tongue. Walk away and let that thing go. Don't unleash it on your family. Don't do that. Don't sow things into them that will hurt them or hinder them from serving their God. I also want to say, I'm going to mention a scripture here and then I want to talk about it a little bit. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way they, emphasis on they, should go. And when they are old, they will not depart from it. You know, there's a way they're supposed to go. And it's not always our way, is it? You know, they're not supposed to be a little clone running around, a little clone of dad doing the same thing. You know, they may wear the name Junior, but they're not supposed to act like you all the time. They're not supposed to have the same job, the same destiny, the same college, the same goals. You with me? You don't want to, you know, manipulation and control is witchcraft. You don't want to do that on your own kids. I'm just going to tell you, if you're trying to force them in a path that's not theirs, it's wrong. I love you guys, but I'm just telling you because I dealt with that. I was trying to be forced into something that was not part of my call. And it took years to fight out of that and get where God wanted me to be. So I also want to say that there's a way that your child needs to go. There's a way your grandchild is supposed to go. There's a call of God on every person's life, including the kids. If you're a parent or grandparent, seek that call. And let me just say this, if you're a family member, friend, whatever, ask God, God, what is your plan for my child? What is your call, God? What is your heart for my grandchild? What do you want to see happen in their life? And believe me, God, if you ask, ask and you shall receive. God will give it to you. He will. He did it with all of my kids. He's doing it with my grandkids. He's done it with my family. He's faithful because he knows the significance that we have in our sowing. So just please, ask God, get his heart, speak to that. Speak to that. In your friends, speak to that. Speak to what God has called them to be. Reinforce what God's doing in their life. If God's working through something with them, speak of God's faithfulness. Speak of God's help in that spot. Speak of the victory that they're going to be enjoying soon. Sow seeds like that. Who wants friends like that? Amen. Who wants a friend to say, man, it's over. You're just, man, I wish the best for you. I'm getting away from you. I'm scared of you. Your stuff's so bad, I don't want it to rub off. Who wants a friend like that? But that's the way we treat each other a lot of times. Like, man, you're a wreck. Oh, my gosh. You know, you need a drink. Yeah, like that's sowing something good. No, say, no, God can help. God's with you in this. You know, I'm with you in this. I will stand with you until this is over. We will pray. We will find God. That's what you got to be sowing. Church, if we act like this, the world doesn't stand a chance in their resolve to stay unchanged. You act like this, people say, man, I want to be around them. They're nice to me. They love me. Boy, they speak good things into my life. I feel good when I leave them. I always feel better about myself. You know, this Jesus, you know, he must be really good if he can do that in their lives. You want to make Jesus look good? Start sowing some good seed in people, even the lost. Start speaking confidence. Start speaking blessing on the lost people. They can't stand it. They won't be able to hold back. They'll be like, my gosh, this is good. I want some of this. The goodness of the Lord leads people to change. That's what the Bible says in Romans. Not bad things, not being nasty, not beating them over the head with a Bible or beating them over the head with anything. God's goodness and kindness is what leads us to think differently. That's what it means to repent. It means to think differently. So now I want to speak just a little bit more about something here. Sorry, I just want to read this and we'll go to the next thing, okay? It says, those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from their sinful nature. Okay? You're going to reap what you sow. You're going to harvest what you plant. It says, but those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. I just want you to know that's not just talking about eternity in heaven. There are eternal things that you can do in each other's life right now, things that will not pass away, things that will last and stand the test of time. That's the good seed. Good seed has eternal significance. So keep that in mind with this part of the scripture. It says, so let's not get tired of doing what's good. This is a big one. Don't give up. Keep sowing. Even if you don't see the harvest, keep sowing. Even if it takes years, keep sowing. Even if it takes 10 years, keep sowing. You know, I've got harvest I'm just coming into that I sowed 20-something years ago. 20-something years of I would like to say patiently waiting, but it wasn't always patiently. But I never quit and I never gave up. I kept praying, but I was like, God, what about this? You promised this to me a long time ago. God, when? God, I'm looking for that. God, thank you. I'm the expectant farmer. I can't say I was always the utterly relaxed about it farmer, but I was patient enough. In other words, I never let it go. And God understands. He understands sometimes we get impatient. He's not upset with that. He's just glad you're staying in the process with him. He loves you. So it says, let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have opportunity, we should do good to everyone. It doesn't say just Christians only, everyone. Let's do good to everybody. Church, let's be the church. It says, especially to those of the family of faith. I like that little end part that Paul put on there. You know, especially watch out for the brothers and sisters. I like that part because I am one. So you guys can watch out for me anytime you want to, and I'll watch out for you, and it'll work. Amen. So now I want to, before we look at this, I really want to hit one last thing. We got just a little bit, and I want to hit this. Big events. Significant events in your life are special. When a big thing happens in your life, it can be good or bad, either one. It's like this big tractor with a plow, and it just goes vroom across your life, and it opens up this deep furrow in your heart for seeds. It opens up four seeds for planting. You may think it opened you up for something else, but you'd be wrong. And the scripture's right. Big events, and I'm just having fun with you guys, but the truth is you notice I didn't say I was right, so I handled that the right way. You know, big events are, they're like a tractor with a plow, aren't they? They just open us up to the core of our being. They do. But there's a reason for that. Yeah, good and bad happens to all of us. When we become Christians, we don't get exempt. That doesn't mean somehow or another we've transferred into the kingdom of no more problems. No, we all have things to deal with that are tough. Everybody, lost, saved, it doesn't matter. But the fact is, these big events do something in us. And I'm just going to name a few of these, okay? You get a brand new job, a big job. It shakes you. You don't know what to do. You lose your job. That shakes you. You know, the death of a family member, a loved one. That cuts you to your core. I mean, it really does. You know, you have a new child. You never parented before. I mean, there's some anxiety there, you know. You know, am I going to be able to do this or not? You know, a major expense. You know, out of the blue, you know, you have to buy a car, you have to buy something, and you just don't have the money for it. That's a big deal. You know, a serious health problem. Those are big things. Those are huge things. Those are those big, significant events that go through our life and just open us up. Now, I want to talk about that. You know, those are times that are very special to plant. And you may think, what? Yeah. That's when the richest soil that will ever be accessible is laid bare. And those seeds are going to go right into the most fertile spot of your being. So as soon as something big happens, start planting. Start planting while it's open. Because I'm going to tell you, when it happens, something's going to get planted there. It's going to be good or bad. Normally, we plant some bad stuff when something big happens, especially if it's a negative event. You know, it's opened up and we get all nasty and, you know, we'll, let me just hit this. I'm going to hit this right quick. Guys, I'm going, okay, just a little bit forward, but a little bit longer, but this is important. You know, when something big happens in your life, say you lose your job, okay, somebody dies. You know, you get diagnosed with some terrible health thing. Do not go into warfare and start binding and rebuking and fighting and doing a mud battle with the devil. And I know I'm hitting some doctrine. I'm hitting some people's theological views here. That is not Bible. Read your Bible. That's not Scripture. It's not there. And believe me, I know what I'm talking about. It's not there. You know, when something bad happens, the devil's got, he's got access to me. He's doing this, he's doing that. And what do? We reinforce our position. We become fully defensive and refuse to become changed for Jesus. What you need to do is when something bad happens, you should be like, Man, this hurts, God. If it's a bad thing, God, this hurts. This hurts, God. But where are you? Where are you, my God, in this? I want you. I want your best, God. There's a reason for this, God. What will you plant in my life today, God? What seed should I be planting in my life right now, God? Because you've opened me up. And man, it's tough right now. But doggone it, I'm going to get a good harvest out of this. It may be bad today, but doggone it, I'm going to get something good in the future because of this. And you want to be speaking, it's bad, but I shall overcome this with you, Lord. Yeah, things are terrible, God, right now, but God, tomorrow's a new day. Your mercy will be new for me then. And Lord, I'm hanging on to you now. If all you can do is hang on, but be positive about it. God, thank you so much for providing for that need. God, I don't know how, but I don't have to because you're the one who controls the harvest, not me. I trust your harvest, God. You with me? When you get in a hard spot and your heart's opened up, plant quickly, pray quickly. You know, the people in Jerusalem, whenever the turmoil happened, what did they do? They didn't go into, well, first thing they said is, and this is in Acts, you know, whenever Peter was preaching and there was a turmoil, what they did, they said, what does this mean? And what shall I do? Two of the best questions whenever a big event happens, when your heart's opened up, say, what does this mean, God? And what shall I do? Great starting place in a tough spot. God will connect with you there, I promise. Now, just kind of in closing, I want to hit a couple of things that reinforce this. You know, in James chapter 1, verse 2, I believe, yeah, I have this right here. It says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind, what kind? Any kind. Come your way, consider it an opportunity. Isn't that an awesome perspective? When the bottom falls out, opportunity. When that loved one dies, yeah, it's going to hurt. It's supposed to because you care. But it is an opportunity. It's an opportunity for you to connect with your God in a way that was not possible before that event. Consider an opportunity for great joy. So how's your garden looking? What you been planting? You know, today is a new day. Plant abundantly. Every chance you get, sow a good seed into your own soil. Sow good seed into your wives. Sow good seed into your family. Sow good seed into your friends. Sow good seed into this lost world and see what happens. Trust the Lord of the harvest. He will surely bring it back. And it will be way more than you ever planted.
For more information, visit our website at www.mounthelena.cc. Download our mobile app available in iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to check us out on Twitter and Facebook.